Book of Hebrews, chapter 3. We started last week just sort of by way of a little bit of an introduction to the person who is, the Bible calls, the Holy Ghost. And we just talked about him some and who he is and who he is in relationship to the other two members of the Godhead. And I'd like to continue on in that study here this morning. I don't know if we'll go a third time. We'll see how it works. Hebrews chapter 3. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, that you have revealed your mind to us, Father, because how could we ever know? How could we come close to knowing and understanding the things that you have done and that you have prepared for us and who you are, Father, the details of the manifold wisdom that you have enacted in this universe, in this creation. We thank you, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would continue to teach us this morning and throughout the service by your word and by your Holy Spirit. And we pray that you would teach us this morning about your Holy Spirit. In the name of our Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen. Hebrews and chapter 3, we looked at the reference to the Holy Ghost. I told you a couple weeks ago that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is mentioned seven times in the book of Hebrews, and each time brings out a different aspect of his person or of his ministry. And we're not doing all of those seven references, but I am just kind of using some of them as our jumping off point for this brief study that we're doing here. In chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, let's pick up with verse 5. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5, "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me, and saw my work 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." Now there are several things there that passage brings out about the Holy Ghost, and we talked last week at some length about the difference when your Bible talks about and names this third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost, as compared to the Holy Spirit. And when it talks about the Holy Ghost, it's talking about him as a person, as opposed to many passages in the Scripture that talk about the Spirit of God, the Spirit that belongs to God. When it talks about the Holy Ghost as a person rather than a possession, your Bible, your King James Bible, the older Bibles call him the Holy Ghost. And there are a few things brought out here in this passage about his work. We talked mostly about his person last time. And the one thing, the most evident and clear thing we see there in verse 7 is, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith." And then the writer goes on and quotes Scripture. And the Holy Ghost is attributed with being the author of Scripture, of the Bible. He's the one that communicates the Word. We saw last week that there are three that bear witness: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And the eternal word of God, come just a few pages back or a page back to Titus and chapter 1. You want to see this. The eternal word of God is manifest in the person of the Son. John tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And again, that verse in 1 John 5:7 says, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and names the second person of the Trinity as the Word of God. But the communication of that Word, of that eternal Word to man, comes through the Holy Ghost, is attributed to the Holy Ghost. Titus, in chapter 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now you see that in that passage and in many places in the Scripture, the word is shown to be eternal. God promised these things before the world began. But in due time, that eternal word that existed from before the world began is manifest. So God promised it before the world began, but he manifested his word in due time through the preaching that was committed to Paul. That is, by the Holy Ghost. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You say, I thought the message to Paul was given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it was. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's given by Christ through the Holy Ghost. We'll see that in a moment. Because the Lord Jesus Christ appeared personally to the Apostle Paul and gave him the revelation that he gave him, doesn't mean that he didn't give it to him by the Holy Ghost. Because this is how the Lord always communicates to men. Even when the Lord Jesus Christ himself was here on earth speaking to his disciples, he did it through the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Ghost. We'll see that in a minute. But as far as Paul, 1 Corinthians and chapter 2, verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So Paul attributes his message and the words that he speaks, and particularly in the Scripture, as we just saw in Hebrews chapter 3, the Holy Ghost saith, and then it quotes the Scripture, that these things come by and through the Holy Ghost, the ministry of the Holy Ghost in the Apostle Paul. Now, he goes on there in verse 14 and on, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the Holy Ghost speaks the Word, gives the Word of God, that eternal Word that existed from before the foundation of the world. When it's time to reveal whatever it is that's being revealed at the time, the Holy Ghost reveals that. Now, whether man is going to receive that or not, believe it, comprehend it, understand it, internalize it, let it dwell in them, that also is a ministry and a work and the power of the Holy Ghost that enables them to do that. You notice the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So the Holy Spirit not only is responsible as the member of the Godhead that he is for revelation, that is the inspiration of Scripture, revelation to the prophets, and then the inspiration of Scripture itself, but he is also attributed with illumination, enlightening the minds of God's people to understand the Word that he gives. So the Holy Spirit really is kind of in charge in its entirety of the Word of God, from bringing it out, to causing it to be written down, to bringing it into our hearts and minds and enabling us to understand it. Now, come back with me. Come to get Numbers chapter 11. The book of Numbers and chapter 11. Because what this then leads to in the Scriptures is the issues of infilling, being filled with the Holy Ghost, being led by the Holy Ghost. The Bible talks about all of these things, about how the Holy Spirit seemingly takes control of God's people, whether it is by leading or by moving. Peter says they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And how does that work? How do you get led by the Spirit today? Is it something that just the Holy Spirit just kind of gives you an impression in your mind? I should, you know, go this way instead of that way. I should take this job instead of that job. I should say this to this person and not this to that person. I mean, how does that all work? Well, Numbers chapter 11. Let's take a look at this passage. And there are many differences in the way that God works through the Holy Spirit, through the Scripture. And we know that. We see dispensational truth in the Bible, how God changes the way he operates. But in this area, it's really not as different as it first would seem. Numbers in chapter 11, let's get verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand here with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. So Moses is judging all of the children of Israel, 600,000, and that's just the men. It was some 3 million altogether. And it becomes obviously too much of a burden for him. So the Lord says, pick out 70 other men, and I will take the Spirit that's on you, and I'll put it on them, and they will help you. They'll come alongside to help you with this, to bear this burden. And if you look on down, verse 25. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. So when the Spirit comes upon them, and you notice that idea of coming upon as opposed to within, the idea there is, you hear that language in reference to prophets. The Spirit, even the Lord Jesus Christ, at his baptism, the Spirit descended upon him in a bodily shape like a dove. And the apostles say that that was an anointing, that God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and gave him power to do these miracles and so forth. So even the Lord Jesus Christ, he said on several occasions, the words that I speak unto you, they're not mine. They're the Father's. And the way they came was through the Holy Ghost. He spoke as every other prophet spoke in time past. So when God says to Moses, I'm going to give you these helpers, and they're going to help you to judge the daily arguments and disputes and things that people get into. I'm going to give them wisdom to do that. Well, how does he do that? The Spirit comes upon them, and they begin to prophesy. That is, the Word of God is connected with that spirit of wisdom that these people are given. It's not just a matter of situation by situation. Okay, what should I do here, Lord? Well, this one's right and that one's wrong, so judge in favor of them. What he does is he puts the Word of God into their hearts. And it's through that the wisdom comes, the leading of the Holy Spirit comes. Come back to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31. See, the leading of the Holy Ghost was never an impression, that just kind of a vague kind of thing that came upon somebody and gave them an inkling, like a hunch or an instinct that I should go this way and not that way. It always came by the Word. By the Word of God. Now, sometimes that Word was given very instantly and specifically regarding a particular situation. But it wasn't something that they said to themselves, well, let's see, is this God telling me this or is this me telling me this? Or do I have to decide now? Is this the leading of the Holy Spirit or is this really just I'm doing this because it's what I want to do? It wasn't like that. It was never like that. It's not like that today. The Holy Spirit leads by the Word of God. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Now we're building the tabernacle here and all the furniture and so forth. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded them, the tabernacle of the congregation, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle. So God takes these guys here, he calls them by name, and he says, I put the spirit of wisdom in them. Now you notice who it is that he puts the spirit of wisdom in too. It's all those that are wise-hearted. All those that are wise-hearted, God gives the spirit of wisdom to? Well, why is that? Well, that seems redundant, doesn't it? If these guys are already wise, why does God have to put the spirit of wisdom into it? Well, listen, Solomon says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And someone who is wise-hearted is following that rule, has got that ground, has got that beginning. He's not the natural man that receives not the things of the Spirit of God. He's the spiritual man that is able to discern things as the Spirit gives them to him. So a person who is wise increases wisdom, Solomon again says. And the fool just goes on in his foolishness, because there needs to be that ground. Now, so you see this here and you say, okay, well, the Lord put the spirit of wisdom in these guys so that they would know exactly how to build this tabernacle. They know what it's supposed to look like. They know what all the timbers are supposed to be carved. They know how all the furniture is supposed to go. God just put that spirit in them. They started chipping away, and lo and behold, you know, this is what came out. That's not how it worked. Come back to chapter 25. Before he puts the spirit of wisdom into these guys who are going to build this thing, you see chapter 25, verse 8, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it." Look at the end of the chapter, verse 40. "And look that thou make them after the pattern which was showed thee in the mount." So these guys aren't just kind of closing their eyes, you know, put a blindfold on me and I'll just start working and voila, it'll be what God wanted it to be because I have this spirit of wisdom. And they had a pattern. In other words, they had the Word of God that told them how to do this thing. So then if you've got that, well, what do you need this spirit of wisdom for? Well, you and I have the Word of God. But how does that come into actual outworking in the details of your life? Well, that's the Holy Spirit that enables you to take the Word that He gave, to understand it, to internalize it, and then to see it work out in the details. Should I go this way or that way? Should I talk to this person? What should I say to them? All of those kind of things. Should I take this job or that job? Should I wear red socks or green socks? If anything that has anything to do, you run that through the filter of the Word of God as the Holy Spirit enables you to do that. Now, many details in life, should I wear red socks or green socks? I don't know, where am I going? Am I going to church in shorts? If I am, I might want to go with the white sack. But other than that, for the most part, does it really matter to God whether you wear green socks or red socks? For the most part, no, it doesn't. So then you've run that through the filter, and the Holy Spirit tells you, well, it's your choice. You know, you're a big boy, you're a big girl. You can decide what color socks you're going to wear. But should I talk to this person? Is this the right time? Is this a good time? What should I say to him? I've given this person the gospel three times already. Is one more time the right thing to do, or should I back off? Those kinds of things. See, what we've got is we've got the Word of God that tells us what God's will is and what His mind is. And it's the Holy Ghost that gave us that in the first place, but then it's the Holy Ghost that enables us to apply that Word to the details of our life. That's what He's doing with these guys here. We've got this pattern that God gave to Moses. There's great detail here on how He wanted all these things put together. But if 10 of us here just took the Bible and started chipping away according to the directions that were given here, we wouldn't all come up with identical looking things. See, the Holy Spirit gave them that wisdom to fill in the details. And that's what He does in our life. See, so it's not so different for us today than it was for them. Come with me. Get Ephesians in chapter 1. You say, well, the Holy Spirit came on them and they prophesied. Well, that's different. Well, yes, it is. Because you and I, we've got a complete Bible today, so there's no reason for that. Ephesians in chapter 1. But having the Word of God by the Holy Ghost, we then need to learn it, to internalize it, and to form judgments in light of it. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, right? Ephesians chapter 1, I'll get there in a minute. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So it's the Holy Spirit that is attributed with sealing us. He baptizes us into the body of Christ, and He also seals us there. That Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So the Holy Spirit is also seen here as the down payment, the foretaste of what we have to come out in the future. Now, all of these things have to do with what we're talking about, with the Word of God and bringing that Word home to us in our hearts and in our minds and enabling us to make practical decisions based on it by coming to know God. Read on here. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, by the way, that there, verse 15, wherefore I also, Paul says, I also pray for you. Well, who's he talking about? He's just talking about the Holy Spirit. You're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And then he says, and I also pray for you. Well, that means the Holy Spirit's praying for you. Just like he said in Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. That's what he's saying here. He says, and I also make intercession for you. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now there's that spirit of wisdom again. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, you've already got the Holy Ghost. Just like those guys already had the Word of God. It was given by the Holy Ghost. But then he gives them the spirit of wisdom and revelation on top of that to be able to understand it, to comprehend it. And that understanding comes in the knowledge of Him. See, so what it ends up being is that the Holy Ghost reveals the mind of God. We saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And he gives that in the form of the eternal Word that existed from before the foundation of the world. The Holy Ghost takes that Word of God and he makes it manifest in due time. Then he takes that manifested word, and he brings it by indwelling you, he brings it into you, into your heart, into your spirit. And by doing that, you increase in the knowledge of God. You take in the word, the Holy Spirit internalizes that word, and you come to know God better and better. And as you do that, then we can, the more we know God, the better able we are to say, would the Lord have me to do this or that, to go this way, to go to the left hand or to the right, to take this job? Is this something that I ought to be doing, that I ought not to be doing? Is it a neutral thing? If it's neither good nor bad, then does it present opportunities? Do I have another option? All of those kind of things. As we come to know God, the Holy Spirit is able to lead us then in the details of our life, because that word dwells in us, and we have the mind of Christ. You know, when someone dies and they didn't leave a will, they didn't leave their wishes behind, well, what do? Well, you go to the next of kin. You go to the person who knew them best. And you say, what would they have wanted? See, that's what that person knows their mind. And they maybe they've never said, I want to be buried in the blue suit and the red tie or something. But you know the person. And you can make those detailed decisions because you know their mind. Well, that's what the Holy Ghost does. He reveals who knows the mind of God, but the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God indwells us and reveals the mind of God through the Word. And then we're able to apply that to the details of our life. As opposed to, come back to get Acts chapter 16. So, is that an inkling? Is that an instinct? Is that an impression? No, it's a verse. It's a verse of Scripture, or at least a doctrine. Verses better than doctrine, but at least a doctrine that you know from the Word of God. You know that the Lord wants us to do this and not that. And you also know by the Spirit of God that you have liberty in things that God hasn't specifically said. Whether you should wear red socks or green socks. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty to wear whatever color socks that you want to wear, right? So that's another thing that the Spirit does. See, because He makes known to us the mind of God, that liberates us. You don't have to have all these outward commandments ruling every detail of your life like they used to have. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, when you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Because we walk in the Spirit, not by the letter. So, because we know the mind of God, we are able to act without the constraint, without the bondage that those folks had before that indwelling Spirit came. That's why the Spirit brings liberty. He brings it through the Word. He brings it through a knowledge of God. He brings it by giving us the mind of Christ in the Word, and then internally as we take in the Word. Acts chapter 16. Now here's some leading of the Holy Ghost that we don't We don't get it this way exactly today, so here's a difference. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and after they were come into Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Now that's some leading of the Holy Ghost right there. Now what's happening here? Again, are these people getting... you know what? I'm really getting a strong impression here that the Holy Ghost doesn't want us to go over there, so we're going to go over this way. No, these guys are prophets. Come to look. Well, you probably don't even have to turn. The end of Acts chapter 15. I've said to you before, you know, the Bible talks about this leading of the Holy Spirit, and because we don't have the gift of prophecy today, people look at that and they don't know what that is. Well, if you study out your Bible, you know what it is. When it says that the Holy Ghost forbade them to go to preach the word in Asia, that's not some vague impression that came upon them. There was a prophet. One of them got up and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I forbid you to go over here, but you got to go over here." It was by the word of God. Like I said to you, it's not so different. The Lord didn't leave these people with vague impressions any more than He leaves us with vague impressions. We have a very solid leading of the Holy Spirit, just like they did, because we've got the Word of God, just like they did. Chapter 15 was the council at Jerusalem, whether the Gentiles needed to be circumcised or not, and they end up writing this letter, verse 24. "For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from among us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." So you've got, what you've got here is you've got workers together with God. You've got the mind of the apostles, and they're gathered together with one accord, like the Lord told them, "When two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." And he says, it seems good to us and to the Holy Ghost too. Now what that means is, again, there's a prophet there who says, yes, what you guys are about to do is what I want you to do. Write this letter. The Gentiles are not to be circumcised. They're not to be brought under the law. And yes, this is the will of God. So they discern that by their debate and their conference that they had there. And Peter persuaded them and so forth. And then the Holy Ghost confirmed the decision that they came to. Same way He did when they picked Matthias to be the 12th apostle. So there's this working together with Spirit-filled people and the Holy Ghost, and that's how they're being led. Now, come to get Ephesians chapter 5 and compare that. We looked at this a Wednesday or two ago. Ephesians 5 and compare that with Colossians chapter 3. Paul says, "The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now, how does he do that? Well, you've got Scripture that tells you God has ordained a way in which people, human beings, can become His children. And the way that that happens is by faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you put your faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are a child of God. And the Holy Ghost bears witness to that fact. And Paul says, in that same context, that we are led by the Spirit. And being led of the Spirit means that we haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But we've received the Spirit of the Lord. We've received the Spirit of liberty. If you be led of the Spirit, Galatians 5, you are not under the law. So that's the idea again. You get the word of grace, and you get built up and rooted in that, and then the Holy Spirit leads you by it. What that comes down to in a practical sense is, if I'm going to do something, and I'm going to say, the Holy Ghost is leading me to do this, I better have a verse. I better have a verse of Scripture. Because the Holy Spirit leads by the Word. And there needs to be at least that construct around which those decisions are made. If it's, the Holy Spirit is leading me to take this job, well, why? Where's the scriptural justification? Not for taking that job, but for saying that the Holy Ghost is leading me to do this. Now, if I've got, because there's an opportunity here to witness, because it's service, maybe it's a ministry, something like that, and the Lord says that I'm supposed to be in service, that I'm supposed to be building up the body, whatever it is, okay, fine, the Holy Ghost is leading you to do that. But if it's, you know, if it's just because there's some impression in your mind that this is really the better way to go and it's going to turn out better in the end and so forth, well, you know, God gives you wisdom to make good choices, but don't say that the Holy Ghost is leading you to do it if you don't have a verse, because this is how the Holy Ghost leads us. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, we're to redeem the time. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we need to have that wisdom and understanding that he talked about. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. He goes on, husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents, and so forth. So we are to be filled with the Spirit. Now what does that mean? They were filled with the Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Started speaking with other tongues, right? Well, here, being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and then all those other things, giving thanks, submitting one to another, loving one another, and so forth. Look in Colossians chapter 1, or 3 rather. Get the parallel passage here. And you want to see this. These people have all kind of ideas about what it is to be filled with the Spirit today. Colossians in chapter 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. And so forth. Now those are parallel passages. The one says, be filled with the Spirit. The other says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And those two things are synonymous. He's saying the same thing. Now, I'll say to you in this remaining minute that I've got here, that starts with taking in the Word of God. But there are plenty of people who know the Word of God well and don't have the Word of Christ dwelling richly within them. Knowing it is where it starts. But what we're going toward here is not knowing it, but knowing God. That's when the Word dwells in us, and it dwells in us richly. That is, it produces, it profits, it causes an end, a product. So it's not just having my head full of the Word of God, but it's letting the Word of God dwell, take up residence in my soul, and to do that richly. That is being filled with the Spirit, because the Spirit is the author and the communicator of the Word of God, and He's the one that takes it and empowers it in to produce in our lives. We will stop there. Do you have a question? Yeah. Yeah. It says liberty. Yeah. Actually, David talks about God leading him with His free spirit. We talk about a free spirit. Someone who's a free spirit. You think of, you know, the hippies of the 60s and 70s and that kind of thing. Well, that term comes out of the Bible, and it's a reference to God. And His Spirit is free, which is why where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, because He's not constrained. So when we are led by the Spirit, neither are we, but we freely walk according to the will of God, not by constraint, but by our own will that God works in us by His Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm.